Blog Talk Radio.
Wow.
Hello, I'm Lady Carolyn.
I'm the Elder Clayton Evans.
And welcome to our show. Tonight, our topic is... Know your enemies, don't create them. But before we get started, we'd like to have some prayer so that we can decrease and God can increase in us. Amen.
Amen. Spirit of the true and living God, we approach your throne, Father God, this afternoon with a noble heart, Father God, thanking you, Father God, for this coming and ministering to us this morning, dear Heavenly Father. And we thank you, Father God, that your spirit dwells among us, dear Heavenly Father. We ask now, Father God, that you would use that same spirit now to work in us, Father God, to proclaim your word, dear Heavenly Father. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Jesus. For the sake we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And again, our topic is know your enemies, don't create them. We will be discussing how important it is to know that you can create an enemy by your words, deeds, actions, and character defects. Thinking that a person is your enemy can cause you to create an enemy where there is none. Just because you have disagreements, differences, and opposite views does not mean that you should start treating someone like they are your enemy. Too many times in relationships, we allow our expectations of how a person should respond or react to us cause us to view them as an enemy. Creating an enemy where there is none stops all processes of reconciliation, and wars do not stop as long as one side is opposing. In order to operate in love, we need to be aware that our enemy is not the person we are dealing with. It is those principalities that have been set against us to keep us from loving one another as God commands. We have to make the decision to follow God's commandment to love one another as he loved that of being ruled by the principality that is the true enemy. And tonight, we're coming out of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, out of the King James Version. And the word is, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And we're going to come out of 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 through 6, out of King James Version. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." And that's the word of God.
For the people of God, thanks be unto God.
Amen, amen. And the definition for enemy is someone who hates another, someone who attacks or tries to harm another, something that harms or threatens someone or something, and it can also be a group of people, such as a nation, against whom another group is fighting a war, and it's one that is antagonistic to another, one seeking to injure, overthrow, or confound an opponent. And an enemy is a hostile unit of force. And a principality is the state, office, or authority of a prince, the position or responsibilities, the territory, jurisdiction. It's an order of angels from the dark side. And you want to give us the spiritual definition of principality?
Spiritual
definition. Mm-hmm. It's abnormality and amorality. It's okay. That's what I had. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Amen. Okay, and our topic tonight is talking about being able to know that there is an enemy. There is an enemy.
Oh, yes. Most definitely.
And we need to know that, but not to create enemies, you know, because we can create enemies so easily in close proximity with one another. And we want to be able to learn how to operate in love, to pull down those strongholds and understand that we don't have to draw off of another person's negativity or the principality that dwell in them. We don't have to become like them in order to be with them or be around them. You know, we don't want to be of this world. We don't want to be just like the people that we say that they doing something to us. But when God say, when God talks about loving your enemies, and I understand a little bit more today that, you know, what he's really telling me that I don't need to cause my enemy any harm. I don't have to do anything back. I don't need to retaliate. He said vengeance is his, you know, the battle is not mine. So I don't have to retaliate. I don't have to do tit for tat. I don't have to get back. You know, I don't have to act like. I don't have to oppose. I don't have to antagonize. There's some other ways that I can act and make sure that I'm being obedient to what God wants me to do, because I'm responsible for how I act, not for how the other person acts, not for how the other person treats me, because the Bible still says treat the other person like you want to be treated, not like they treat you. Exactly.
And then we ask him also that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in his sight.
In his sight.
You know.
Amen.
So therefore, we want to tip with that and word for word, opposing the enemy in that fashion, then we're not allowing him, you know, to let those words and the meditation be acceptable in his sight, because we are leading on our own understanding of how to, you know, rebuke whatever it is that's coming toward us. And wow, just learn such a valuable lesson in, you know, principalities and powers and how they're used, you know, in warfare. And you just have to be on guard and be aware of, you know, it's not the person, but it's that principality, that ruler, you know. We're supposed to let Christ reign in our heart, and not those principalities.
Amen.
Because they are rulers, you know. They're territorial, and they will possess you, just like they try to possess the land. And we got to look at ourselves as being the dust of the earth, so that is land to them, you know. So we have to guard ourselves against that, because it's so easy for them to come in and manipulate us into thinking, you know, and it is the same principle as wolves in sheep clothing. You know, they'll disguise themselves as one thing, but it's really something else. You know, so once you let them in, they'll begin to govern your thoughts and your emotions and stuff, and making you see things that are really not there.
Right.
You know, so we have to be careful with things like that, according to the word of God.
Amen. And especially in a marriage, we have to look at, you know, when we was going through, we was creating enemies amongst each other, you know, instead of learning how to operate in love, because we didn't know anything about that, you know, what we did was we turned the place into a war zone. You know, and everybody was on opposite. And having that opposing force at all times, that's what creates those enemies, where there really is none. Because when we walked down the aisle and we said our vow, we took a covenant with God. We said that we would be together through sickness and in health, rich and poor,
better
or worse. And those vows were the same things that we argued about, same things that we thought about, same things that we were opposite on. You know, and we have to learn how to understand that those vows, they have so much power in them. And we find out what those words mean, what's the value of being able to stand up there and say that. But what's the value in it is coming home and being able to operate in those words.
I remember when we knew those vows, after I spoke mine, you know, the thing that was in my heart was for God's help.
Amen.
Because I knew I couldn't do it from my prior experience on my own, you know.
Right.
I needed God's help to be able to understand what his love is and what those vows really meant, and to have the power and the strength to operate in those vows and not so easily forget them. Because somewhere along the line in a lot of marriages, we can forget.
Oh, yeah.
The vows that we took, you know, we get complacent and we get comfortable and we take a nonchalant attitude, you know, once things are not favorable to us, you know, in our mate, you know, we get offended and upset about stuff and then we abandon the vow, you know, and then we go into that different cat mode, you know, you shoot my dog, I'm gonna kill your cat, you know, and it's something that, you know, it's opposing to those vows that we took to love each other and to, you know, do sickness and health and all those things, you know, even till death, you know. So it's important not to let those principalities come and turn us into enemies, you know. We can't walk through life unless we've been agreed with one another. And if there's times where we can't come into agreement, there's time for us to just pray, you know, to God, show us, okay, this is what needs to be done to make this right, you know. And it's so easy to allow those principalities to come and govern over us, you know. And when they become strongholds in our lives, that's when we're in trouble.
Yeah, because we caught up in the grip then.
Yeah.
And when you get caught up in the grip, and sometimes it feels so good to flesh, because I can remember, you know, cursing, you know, and cussing so vehemently and yiking it. You know, when it come out.
That was a weapon of a warfare. You know, using those words to try to hurt.
Right.
To try to cut, you know, try to tear somebody down.
And that's a good point, because we have to be real careful those words that we use, you know, to create enemies. Because, you know, they said, I was looking at something the other day, and the guy was talking about that. He was talking about how, I think it was Hagee, he was talking about how they said, we've been saying this for so long about sticks stones and breaking bones, but words we never heard. Yeah. And like you said, that's the biggest lie. That is the biggest lie, yes. Because what happens is those words, they're there. We just put them in somebody's spirit, you know. Yeah. Ill-seed. And it's very ill. It's real. It's so harmful and detrimental to a relationship, because those name-calling, you know, those browbeating, you know, those things stick with people a long time. That's why you have so many people that can remember what happened in their childhood. Now, you got adults, you know, older people my age, you know, I'm in my 50s, you know, that I can still remember some things that my parents said to me or have done to me, you know, that, you know, every now and then it might come up, you know, I'm reminded. You know that, and the biggest thing about that for me is, I always wonder, is that really how they felt? Because even when a person comes back and says that they apologize or they're sorry, you know, and then the next time you may have something going on and they may say something they're vicious, and it takes you right back to that same place. So we have to be real careful, you know, that, you know, we're not using that type of language toward each other, because there was a time when we really knew that we loved. You know, we knew we was in love at one time. And being able to pull that love up, you know, and this is looking back in retrospect, you know, because this is something that we have to be mindful of doing now that we could not do before. You know, we very careful about, you know, the way we talk to each other, you know, with love, kindness, respect, compassion, patience, tolerance, you know, self-control, you know, being able to know that the things that can come out of my mouth, like God said, you know, the tongue can curse or bless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, try to be.
Yes,
life is the power of the tongue.
And I reiterate what I said earlier, you know, you want to let the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart be acceptable in God's sight.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
because He's watching.
In this context in which we're speaking, it's so relevant, you know. That we think about what we're thinking about before we open up our mouth and
right.
speak on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because once it's out there, it's not abstract. You can't take it back.
Mm-mm.
You know, you can't take it back. You can regret it. You can be remorseful of it. You know, you can be sorrowful about it, but you cannot take it back.
Mm-hmm.
It's out there. It's a done deal.
Right.
You know, so it's and that's what the renewing of the mind, I feel, is all about. You know, you renew your mind. You know, and it helps you to not to go back to that place, you know, because we're supposed to be a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The old thing is supposed to be kind of gone, and we're supposed to be new, you know. Not saying that we forget the stuff we're supposed to, you know, but a lot of times the mind ain't made like that.
Right.
You don't recall some things because certain things are triggered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those things to come back to our memory.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to pull those things down. You know, don't let them become a stronghold. Just cast them out right then and there,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that you can continue to have that new mindset about things. Because, like you say, you know, we just a cuss word away from being that same person.
That's right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
but the more that we put God's word in us, And have that meditation, you know, let it consecrate us on the inside, sanctify us on the inside, you know, clean us up on the inside, because that's the way He works, from the inside out.
And don't use God's word. We were talking about this morning, you know, don't use God's word, you know, don't cuss people out in the name of
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. You know, because the Bible is not meant to browbeat.
No.
You know, it's not for that. You know, it's not to be used as a weapon against us. You know, we were talking about how, you know, you can take, you know, scriptures and throw them at people, you know, like it's a sword, you know, and hit them with daggers like that, you know. Ain't nothing Christian about that. There's nothing spiritual about that.
Sword, but it cuts both ways.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be careful how we use
how
it.
We
you
use
know,
it.
Like I believe I said earlier this morning, we have to be very careful how we handle the things of God.
Amen.
You know, His word is sacred, mm-hmm. you know. And once we use it as a weapon, you know, like you said, that's blasphemy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't use God's word to attack people with.
Right.
You know, even though you feel that it's righteous indignation, you know, it's still, you know, that's going against what God's word is for. I mean, it's you can rebuke somebody, but you have to do it in love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just can't because you got animosity or you angry
you
or
hurt.
You hate on somebody,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? And then you take God's word and use it like, you know, to tear somebody down.
Right.
That's not right.
Mm-hmm.
That's not right at all. So we have to be very careful of how we use God's word,
definitely.
You know, because God will chasten those that He loves.
Mm-hmm.
He will get you. He will spank you.
Oh, yeah.
For that, Daddy did not like, you know, you bring reproach against Him when you do that.
Amen.
You know, so we got to be very careful how we approach His word and use His word. And if we say that we reverence Him and we love Him and we adore Him, you know, and He is our Heavenly Father, then we need to always be mindful of that because of how we feel, you know.
So what we thinking, because the word was talking about imagination,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we have to be mindful that, you know, especially, you know, when you are having a hard time with somebody in a relationship, you know, your imagination can totally be against you.
Wow.
Totally. You know, that's your principality right there, your imagination, what you think is happening or what you thought you heard or what you think you see. It could be totally wrong. You know, that's where communication comes in. You know, it's okay to ask a person, well, what did you mean by that? Because what I heard or what I felt or what I thought you were saying, you know, could be totally different from what you meant. You know, and a lot of wars are started,
rumors of war
started by miscommunication, you know, and in relationships, especially with somebody that you say that you care about.
Right.
You know, take the time enough to care enough to ask those questions.
And if you really love me,
you will.
Because you want to seek the truth.
Exactly.
You don't want a misconception about what somebody said or what they meant,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And you don't want to lean to your own understanding either.
We have a tendency to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you mean by that? You know,
mm-hmm.
because if it hits you that way, you know, in an offensive way, you know, well, excuse me, what do you mean by that? Can you clarify that for me?
Right.
You know,
and in a loving, caring tone, because you don't want to pop that out there defensively,
yeah.
you know, like, what you say?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, snapping your head and your fingers, ready to fight, you know.
It hits you like that, you
mm-hmm.
know, you took offense to
mm-hmm.
you know, so, you know.
But that's when you got to, yeah, that's when you got to rest that spirit.
Elaborate on that a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure you didn't mean that the way I took it, or did you? You know. So there's ways of approaching it in a way that you can come to get understanding. The Bible says, in all your kids,
Examine yourself.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of time we have to really take the time to examine yourself because sometimes even when you understand that the truth hurts, only when you don't want to accept it. That's the only time the truth hurts. Because the truth is not going to change. The truth is always going to be the truth. The word is always going to be the word. So when you hear it and it bothers you, but you know deep down inside that it's true about you, examine yourself. Take the time. Yeah, take the time to take this not as criticism or as judgment or as an offense. But take this as something constructive to help you get better because you got somebody that's willing to tell you the truth about yourself to help you.
Yeah.
Because when we come to each other in love to help by telling the truth, that's all it is help. That's all it is. And a lot of times because we get so offended by the stuff that we want to hold on to, by the stuff we want to continue doing, that we rear up, you know, that demon rears up and want to bark and fight. Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
really same thing, you know, and with a clear mind.
Right.
You know, and sometimes our minds do get distorted about certain things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we perceive things in a way that's not true.
Right.
You know, but if you act on that without really examining it, then, you know,
you create this image,
you know, and your imagination is become that principality now,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you're thinking about things in a light that's distorted. It's
right.
not, you don't have all the facts. You don't have all the information because you didn't ask the right question. And I remember when that guy was over here talking to us about over insurance,
mm-hmm.
and he had said, you know, about the questions that you asked. He said he liked that about you because, you know, you were asking some good questions. And I guess a lot of times when he does the interview with people like that and, you know, people don't ask the right questions in order to get to the deal of what it is they truly need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need to get an understanding of what you're getting ready to pay your money on.
Exactly.
You know, but if you don't have the right questions, and I think I'm guilty of that a lot of times, that the presentation to me is what I get caught up in and really don't ask the questions that I need to ask to what the bottom line really is.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the bottom line of anything that somebody is trying to bring to you or present to you because that's how they make their living, you know. So that's very important that we do, you know, ask the right questions
mm-hmm.
in order to get the information that we need to have that understanding of what it is that we need to know in order to do whatever it is we need to do.
And that can alleviate or and or eliminate a lot of hurt, a lot of problems, because, you know, a lot of times people get hurt because they're not talking honestly. You're not telling the person what really, really hurt you, how you really, really took that. A lot of people take things, hear things, and just walk away with it and go and talk to somebody else about it instead of talking to that person, you know. And we have to learn how to be comfortable enough and trust each other enough in our relationship with each other.
Okay.
Amen.
You know, a lot of times you want to shrink back when something's coming at you that it's kind of overwhelming, or you ain't catch you off guard, and you ain't really prepared to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of shrink back, you know, and like, okay, and just let it go. Key then and focus on whatever it is that's coming at you. You know, you will more apt to deal with it right then and there instead of going off and giving somebody else an opinion about it.
Or stewing. Having your little adult temper tantrums about it,
yeah.
Instead of getting to the bottom line and gathering, you know, going somewhere, gathering a resentment, you know, which creates enemies too, because so many people got resentments for years.
And that just drives in my spirit too, and that's that halting spirit.
Amen.
That's the principality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that.
It is.
Takes you up in them high places,
mm-hmm.
where them rulers and principalities
are. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we had also had a conversation about humility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and humility is something that, you know, if you possess it, people will know it.
Right.
You ain't got to,
you don't have to claim.
You announce that you're humble,
mm-hmm.
you know, because people can see that. You know?
Right. Because as soon as you say you are, you just admitted that you're not.
That you're not.
Mm-hmm. You know,
because you don't have to boast in those things that
right.
you are. You
Amen.
Know, they are evident in your character and how you present yourself and how you deal with people in circumstances and situations. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to announce it.
Trying to prove something. Well, brag and boast.
What are you trying to prove? You know, melody is something that you can see in a person. It's an action. It's, you know, it's prevalent. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But whatever you come at you, you know, you're going to take that humble stance. You know, you're not going to be haughty, and you're not going to be, you know, boasting in whatever it is that you feel like, you know, you achieved or whatever you feel that you are. You know, that humility will give you that quiet spirit.
It will, and it helps so much in relationships when you find out that if you can practice humility in your relationship, then you'll have empathy for the other person, because what we find out is that humility puts us on equal ground at all times. It's not a weakness, but it puts us on an even ground, so that I won't start thinking that I'm better than you,
right.
or because I've learned something, or I know a little something, or I'm doing something different from what you do. It does not stand you.
Yeah.
If I can understand how long it took me to get there,
mm-hmm.
I need to understand that you got a process too. And there's
yeah.
no, I don't know how long it's going to take you, just like you don't know how long it's going to take me.
Right.
And when we take that into consideration for each other, then we exercise some humility in our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then nobody is feeling superior. And nobody's feeling inferior.
Right.
And that way, you know, we can stop creating enemies like that, because nobody wants to feel like they under anybody.
Right.
You know, no one wants to feel that way in a relationship. But it's been really good. Definitely very grateful today to be able to minister with you again.
Amen.
It's been a while.
Well,
I love you. Thank you, God. You know, you're Prince out.
Father God, we come before your throne, Father God, and we ask of you, as David did, Father God, that give us a clean heart and a right spirit, dear Heavenly Father. Help us to love one another as you commanded us to love one another, dear Heavenly Father. Not to be judgmental, dear Heavenly Father, but to have that empathy and sympathy for others, and have a humble heart and a humble spirit, Father God. And we thank you for the opportunity, Father God, to minister. In Jesus' name, once again, Father God, to him we give All honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And again, we'd like to thank you for joining us, and we hope that you'll join us again. And remember that no matter what the situation, the problem, or the circumstance, the lesson is always love. Amen.
Wow. I know that you think you can pray, but that mistake.